Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm going to read from the New International Version. In my 13th year, verse 1, and you can stay in your seats because I might read a little bit. In my 13th year, the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kabar River, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. 30th year, pardon me, verse 2. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year, the exile, King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, by the Kabar River, land of the Babylonians. There, the hand of the Lord was on him. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal. In the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In their appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings were four sides. They had human hands. All four of them had faces and wings. And the wings of one touched the wings of the other. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had a face like a human being. On the right side, each had a face like a lion. On the left side, on the left of the face of an ox, pardon me. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. They each had two wings spreading out upward. Each wing touched that of the creature on either side, and each had two other wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. And as I looked at these living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance of the structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creature faced. The wheels did not change direction as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. The wheels moved beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. And when the creatures stood still, they stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Verse 22. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like something like a vault, sparkling like crystal and awesome. Under the vault, their wings were stretched out one toward another, and each of the two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard a sound of their wings like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what happened to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow and the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down and heard the voice of one speaking. Lord, in the moments that remain tonight, I pray that you would use me to communicate that which I have sensed in my spirit for many months now. That you would use me to communicate, God, that which you want to do in 2024. I pray, oh God, come and bring fresh oil and fresh power, fresh unction upon each and every one of us. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. This book is profound, and the very challenging time you see Ezekiel the prophet, he's 30 years old. Very challenging time he had. He should have been a priest. It says he was a priest, but he's got no temple to serve in. He's an exile. He's a captive. And so while he should be in ministry as a priest, he is not. He's by this river. And the Lord comes and gives him a vision. And he uses these words. It was like, how would you describe, if you've never seen an airplane fly, how would you describe an airplane flying? I mean, how, if you saw something that you've never seen before, you try to describe it by what you know. And that's what he does. He's seeing a picture of heaven. He's seeing a picture of glory. He's seeing a picture of cherubim and the throne. He sees the glory of the Lord. And it marks him. The Lord spoke to me and told me that God's glory is going to come and visit us this year, and that his glory is going to be put on display in the north in a dramatic way. Just in the past 48 hours, I've been stirred. Something happened. I don't know. It's honestly, it's a pattern in my life that I see. I just get a little ho-hum with how things are, and it causes me to shift and turn, and I start really going after God and his power. I've been marked. You see, something happened to me. Something happened to him. In actual fact, what's interesting, Ezekiel's 30, he should be a priest in the temple, but he isn't. But here he has this incredible vision. He has a personal experience. He says, I saw. We have the actual date, and the date is July 31st, 593 BC. The text says that. What's so significant about that? Well, it's kind of like the month of January 1995 for me, where God visited King's Cathedral and Chapels in Maui by the power and the glory of God. And I was changed. I was marked. It was never the same since then. Something happened. God personally visited me and changed me. That is Christianity. A personal visitation where God will give you a word. He will visit you and he will talk to you. And he will say, if you just let that go, I'll take over. If you'll flush that down the toilet, I'll take over. I'll do something for you. If you come to me, and he'll open your eyes. I remember reading an application for the School of Ministry. One of the questions it had on this application of the School of Ministry is, when was the date of your encounter with God? Not when did you get saved? No. When did you have your supernatural encounter with God? Have you had an encounter with God? Not when were you born again? That's a good question to ask. When did you have a supernatural encounter with God? And some people say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you say, what do you mean? The odds are then you probably haven't had that. I think back for me, and I know the Lord wants me to move through the rest of this message, and then we'll pray. But the truth is, I can't really tell you in detail about my encounter because the whole rest of the service will end up being about that. And I'll blow the 12 o'clock pray in the new year thing. And I just don't feel like the Lord wants me to do that right now. I start talking about it. I'll start getting overcome and overwhelmed. The night I heard heaven, I was changed. That's what happens to Ezekiel. I saw. What's beautiful about this is if you could imagine being Ezekiel at 30 years old, when do I get bestowed? When's my bestowal? I should be in the temple, and there's no temple. I'm a blasted ancestors, bunch of sinners, messed up my job, my calling. You understand? He should be in the temple serving. He's a priest for a priestly family, 30 years old. It's time to be in ministry, and he's not. He's by some blasted river. And I can't help but think that he might have thought that God had forgotten about him. Oh, but on that day in July, and it gives us a date, he saw the Lord. I want you to know this, that God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about the call. He's not forgotten about the vision. He's not forgotten about the plan. He's not forgotten about your people. He's not forgotten about your family. He's not forgotten about you, and he's going to awaken you. He's going to quicken you. He's going to visit you. He's going to come with his glory, and you are going to quicken and awaken others to the glory and the power and the freedom that's found only in Jesus. There's glory being poured out, even tonight. He's not forgotten about you. I'm so encouraged. I weep when I receive prophetic words that are so accurate that it just communicates what conversations I might have had with my wife, or the deep intents of my heart and thoughts and words I said to the Lord, because it confirms to me that he knows my name, and he knows my rising up, and he knows my setting down. I want you to know this tonight from this text. He knows you, and he's not forgotten about you. He said, but it's too late. Says who? Abraham, Sarah. Too late. It's not too late. I remember when I said in my 20s, I gave my heart to Jesus in my mid-20s. I remember weeping in my mid-20s. I've wasted my whole life, and I literally felt like I was 70 years old. And I had people say, but you're so young. I'm like, whatever. I'm like 27. I was like, I burned my whole life, destroyed so much. Gosh, I'm almost 30. It's like planning my funeral, for God's sake. Wet behind the ears, and I had no idea. Now I know. I'm still wet behind the ears at 57. I'm still young. Glory to God. And if you're younger than me, you're even younger than that. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. God has not forgotten about me. He's not forgotten about you. The hand of the Lord was upon him in verse 3. And he's cognizant of what's taking place, but he's totally blown away. God comes to him in verse 4. Wind, fire. I looked, verse 4, I saw a windstorm coming out of the north. We know about windstorms. There's coming another windstorm. And the windstorm that was sent upon this place 3 years ago this January, I believe it is, the enemy meant it for evil, but it'll always remind me of the powerful wind that God will blow in reverse of that and overthrow darkness and release his power. There's glory coming from the north. Come on, say it. There's glory coming from the north. coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing and lightning, surrounded by a brilliant light. It does remind me of Acts 2. There came a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Pneuma, wind of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit. You see the Holy Spirit hovering. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters in the book of Genesis. And you see this wind all throughout Scripture. There's coming a mighty rushing wind to our church, to our region, to our territory, and all who would open their heart to receive God's power and glory. The tabernacle would have a cloud by day and fire by night. Cloud by day, fire by night. Pastor Karen and I, when we were courting, not sure we were engaged yet, but God was doing so many supernatural things to confirm the fact that we were supposed to get married. It was like an adventure. I mean, every time we'd go out, we just didn't know what was going to happen. It was so incredible like that. We would take the day and bring our Bibles and bring our notepads, and we'd travel, we'd get lunch, we'd have coffee, we'd go somewhere, we'd be visited by the presence of God. I remember when we parked, it was during the daytime. It was sunset. Sun was setting. We parked in Kihei, and I forget which vehicle we were in, but we're praying, and the presence of God is so strong on us. I think we were weeping. We were all undone. And we look out the window and see this cloud literally come in front of the car and basically stop out just in front of the car. And I think I said, "Do you see that?" She's like, "Oh, my God, what's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, Jesus." And I'm like, Lord, God's power. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I got out of the car. I literally got out of the car, walked to the front of the car. I was like, you remember that, right? I tried to put my hand in it. God's power will come and visit you. Put your phone down, put your fork up, and seek God. Because he will come and direct a portion. Oh, you just busted me, Pat. Good. Push yourself away from the table. Fast and pray and tune your heart towards the Lord. Because he's coming with great power. Oh, I don't mean just in January. I mean all year long. And Ezekiel sees and calls these beings. They're cherubim, he says, by chapter 10, but he has no idea what they are here, chapter 6. He's trying to describe them, the face of a man, a picture of dignity, a picture of majesty, a face of a lion, a picture of strength, a picture of royalty, a picture of honor. He's trying to describe these indescribable. You know, if you read this, you know, if you read through this and you took a pencil. In fact, I bet if you took this and you pumped it into an AI generator to give you an image, it would not come out with a picture of someone playing a little golden harp and some cute wings. Comes out with this terrifying picture of eyes everywhere and wings everywhere. That's really what the picture is. The face of an ox. Ox is a picture of prosperity, power, strength. Face of an eagle, picture of swift and stately. Also describes the four gospels, by the way. Matthew's the king, John is the eagle, Luke is the man. It's interesting. The cherubim, this picture of all-knowing, powerful omnipotence, all-knowing aspect of God. They're movements by the Spirit. Verse 21 and verse 12. Each one, verse 12, they went straight ahead wherever the Spirit would go. It says that over and over, wherever the Spirit would go. The key to walking in the blessing of God is go wherever the Spirit would have you go. That is the key.
It's not a rule book where you just follow the rules. Just follow the rules. Then it's going to work out fine if you just follow the rules.
No, that's not true. It's not in there that I'm supposed to marry Karen all those years ago. That's not what it says. Your wife is alive. Okay, it's not, it's not going to say in there, marry so-and-so and such. It's move wherever the Spirit moves. You must be led by the Spirit. How do you do that? You learn. I was talking with my son earlier. He was telling me about the gift of discernment, that God's teaching him things. That's a process. Some people have gifts that are primary and more prominent than others. I've had to learn many things. I used to think I had the gift of discernment. I do. I do have the gift of discernment. Early on, I think I had the gift of suspicion. Some of you think you have the gift of discernment, but you really are just suspicious. It's hysterical. You guys aren't nearly thinking that's as funny as I am. Their movement is by the Spirit. We're going to be led by the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. God has been leading us. God will continue to lead us, and we will continue to obey as we pray and obey. God will bring about his plan for our lives corporately, for your lives individually. Don't you be hoodwinked and bamboozled and shoved into some corner where somebody tries to make you do something or manipulate you to do something. Certainly, for me, if you try to make me do something, I do the opposite. It's just how I'm wired up. Don't let anybody control you. Let the Spirit move you. Don't be manipulated. Don't be a man pleaser. Be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Don't let people use you, abuse you, confuse you. Have boundaries. Don't let people eat your lunch. Some of you have Jonah on board. You need to kick him off the boat. These wheels within the wheels and jewels all around. It's amazing picture. This chariot of fire reminds me of Psalm 18 and verse 8. Smoke went up from his nostrils and a devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon the cherubim and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind and he made darkness his secret place. His canopy all around him was dark waters and thick clouds and skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven. Wow. A sound is described. God's going to produce music. So encouraged by your worship leading. You're very anointed, but you're going to go to a whole nother level. I thought, what in God's name have they been hiding you over at Transformations for? Jesus, they weren't hiding you, obviously. There's a process, but so blessed by your ministry and so blessed about what God's going to do. There's songs that you will write, and there's other people you're going to raise up. I see a tremendous gifting upon you to make disciples and to raise up this next generation. You have a deep burden for children. You have a deep burden for the youth, and God is going to see that wrought in tremendous displays of his power. The Lord says, I'm coming to visit your home. I'm coming to visit you and your husband. I'm coming in power. I'm coming to visit your children. I'm coming upon you, says the Lord. You've asked, you've prayed. At times the enemy tried to tell you that you've missed it or the timing was off. Nope, timing was perfect. I've told you that already. I tell you again, the glory of God is coming to visit you, and you're going to put incredible, incredible music and arrangements. I see artistic things as well. And God is going to release his power through you to a generation to mark them with visitation, says the Lord. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. There's glory coming from the north. There's power coming. It's interesting to me that he could have not been by the river. He could have been playing Xbox 360. He could have had his PlayStation 5 all up in the Madden game. and missed it. He could have been playing his bros on 2K. You're like, what are you talking about? Don't worry, it's all right. I've found that God will touch you in direct proportion to the hunger that you have. I was talking to Evangelist John, and we were talking about, we went to lunch and talking about different churches, and some churches are on fire, some are dead. And it's usually leadership that leads the way for that. If you scatter the sheep, you scatter the shepherd, you strike the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. What happens at the head will determine what will happen in the body. Now, that doesn't mean if you're a part of a church somewhere and someone failed, that now that failure is on you. You know, you can change, you can do things. I'm just saying the level of anointing and the level of power and the level of freedom is dependent upon leadership. All the life group leaders, hear me. You can have God's power manifested in your life group, or you can have some dull, cute little teaching that you close after an hour. And people don't need dull and cute. They need power. They need the power of God. They need the word of God. They need godly leadership and people modeling it, teaching it, yes, and living it, yes. I made a pledge a long time ago that this house will be a house where his glory is put on display. Coming in the new building has been beautiful. I feel like I got a hip out of joint without having stairs here. I've had to try to navigate that. I just want to pledge to you my commitment that we will ever be a Holy Ghost house. We will ever be a house where his power is put on display. The attractional model, well, it's nice seats. You'll have heat. We're going to be professional and excellent. But you can't make the Holy Spirit attractional. He comes. Can I tell you something? You know what this was like for this 30-year-old kid here? Ezekiel? Freaked him right out. How attractional is that? Gazillions of eyes, whirling sound of many waters, trembling, soiling himself. I mean, my God. And I trembled and I lay there as dead. How attractional is that?
Well, it just all needs to be everything decently and in order.
I'm gonna become yet more undignified. I want God to come more than ever before. Lift your hands to heaven. There's glory coming to the north. That's the word I have. There's glory coming to the north.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.